Church of the Brethren.
Good morning.
We say welcome this morning to our church family, to our friends and visitors, and we're certainly delighted to have you with us. What unusual times, and they get even more complicated with our air conditioning out here this morning. But we want to welcome you to our 4th of July weekend worship service. We're glad that you have come, and we know we've got people scattered out throughout our campus. We have people here in the sanctuary, people in a designated room, and also people in the parking lot, in the car. And our audio is being transmitted throughout this area to the cars and to the designated room and to here. And so you have a choice of where you want to gather to worship. Again, brothers and sisters, I welcome you to our worship experience. You know, last week we began a new sermon series concerning truth. Hurtful and hateful words are being exchanged between protesters and freedom of speech activists over what's right and wrong. There's confusion and name calling over the reasons for the new upsurge with the coronavirus outbreak setback. And political debate has heated up again because of the refusal to require wearing masks in public as a national emergency. These examples are only a sample of the many issues which have brought to our attention the biting and the dishonesty and the deception being played out in our culture. And as I claimed last week, you could say we are living in the age of dishonesty. So yes, I will say it again that I believe that telling the truth is a problem in our society. And it certainly is time to begin asking again, what's the truth? Thousands of years ago, God gave 10 truths for living. They're called the 10 Commandments. The 10 Commandments, at their heart and core, are all about love. The overall intent of the Ten Commandments is to teach us truth on how to show love. The first and great commandment is to love God with all our being, which is what the first four commandments teach us, to love God. And the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, which the last six commandments teach us to do that, to love others. Now, today we're going to look at the second commandment and how it will build our faith and how it will teach us truth on how to show love. And the message today is titled, Accept No Substitute. Accept No Substitute. So here is truth number two in our series. Exodus 24:5. You shall not make any idol. You must never bow down to an image or worship it in any way. The second commandment says two things. Don't idolize anything, and worship God only. So first, let's look at that part of this scripture. Don't idolize anything. What is an idol? An idol is anything that takes the focus off of God and puts it on something else. When anything is first in my life that is not God, it's an idol, even if it's a good thing. What does it mean to idolize? In this sense, to value something more than valuing God. It's interesting that archaeologists tell us in every culture throughout history, there have been idols, statues, images in gold and silver and carved in wood. There is the desire of man in his heart, deep down in his nature, to worship. And in order to fulfill this instinct, this desire to worship, men and women, if they don't know the truth, they will turn objects or people or things into objects of worship. And God says, don't do that. In biblical times, there are three primary idols. There was Baal, who was the god of sex. There was Mammon, who was the god of money. And there was Molech, who was the god of violence. Now, there were many others, but these were the big three. We don't worship those carved images of today. Or do we? We will pay billions of dollars today to watch movies to entertain us with images of sex and violence and money. It's the same thing, isn't it? In biblical days, their idols were made of stone and brick and rock and clay and wood and metal. Today, we have mental images, not metal images. The shrine that you find in a lot of homes in America is that little box that you plug in that's called the TV. Every night when we turn it on, we see our idols on TV. We don't worship objects as much as we worship images. Images of being successful. Images of wealth. Images of statue. Images of sensuality. It's very difficult to know the truth in an environment where the culture is praising this. These are the most important things in life, advertisement tells us. In Deuteronomy 4, we read, "For your own good, don't sin by making an idol in any form at all." The Bible says, for your own good, don't make an idol. And today, we wear our idols on our t-shirts and hats. People proudly proclaim what they're committed to, what's important to them, what they would give their lives for. God says, for your own good, don't idolize anything or anyone. Why? Well, because if you do, idols will disappoint you. They always promise more than they can deliver. In Jeremiah 10:14, those who make idols are disillusioned because the gods they make are false and lifeless. Advertisement says, if you would just buy our product, if you would just wear our label, you'll be popular. People will rally around you. They will like you. They will lift you up. Advertisement says, if you will buy our product, you will be successful. Or if you will just drink our brand, it won't get any better than this. That's the best you can have in life. Or buy our toothpaste and you'll have sex appeal and people will be falling over top of each other for you. They always promise more than they can deliver. And we worship their claims and we bow down to them and we support them. Anytime you put any person, anything, any product in the place of God, anytime you expect anything or anyone to solve all your problems or guarantee all your happiness, you're going to be disappointed. Idols will always disappoint you. That's truth. God says for your own good, don't idolize anything or anyone. And why? Well, the second reason is that idols will dominate you. Without you realizing it, idols will end up controlling your life. The Bible says before you knew Christ, you were controlled by dead idols who always led you astray. The Bible says there are two inevitable effects when you love something more than God. First, the thing you love more than God will begin to control you. The word we use today for those kind of idols is the word addiction. You can be addicted to your work, to your possessions, to sports, to numerous things besides alcohol or drugs, which is often attributed to addiction. But eventually, those things will control your life when you love something more than you love God. That's true. And second, you will be led astray. You will lose your perspective when something takes place in your life that ought to be where God should be. How many people, by the lure of gain, end up neglecting their health and their family at a crucial time in their life? Or for the promise of popularity, they will compromise their integrity. Or for profit, they will throw their convictions out the door. The Bible says a problem with idols, anything that you love more than God, will distract you and cause you to lose your values. It will dominate your life. That's true. God says for your own good, don't idolize anything or anyone. Why? Well, here's a third reason. Idols will deform you. Idols will change you. They'll warp you. You will lose the uniqueness that God gave you because you become like what you value most. In Psalm 115:8, those who make idols become like them, and so will those who trust in them. We shape an idol, and it ends up shaping up. You will become whatever is first place in your life. So if you don't reserve that spot for God, you're going to get deformed from being what God meant for you to be in the first place. One time a rich man came to Jesus and he asked, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus looks at him, looks through his question, and he says, "Go sell everything you've got and give it to the poor. And come and follow me." Why did Jesus say that to him? Because Jesus knew, as he looked at him and looked through his life, he knew what was an idol in his life, and that was his bank account. Jesus went straight to the heart of the issue to try to bring healing, to try to bring what this man was seeking. And he said to him, "You've got another God in your life, and if you really want to follow me, if you really want eternal life, give up your idol. Come and follow me. Be willing to let go of anything for me to be first in your life." It says that this man could not decide if it was worth giving up what he loved. So he walked away sadly. And he did not follow Jesus. He did not follow the truth. He did not get the answer in the way that he wanted it for what he asked Jesus. "What must I do to have eternal life?" How about you? What do you love the most? Do you need to give up anything in order to follow Jesus? What is it that you're holding on to that might be keeping you from being all God wants you to be? If you hold on to it, the Bible says it's an idol. If God tells you to give up something, and you can't let go of it, you don't own it. It owns you. The Bible says idols will distract you and disappoint you and dominate you and will eventually destroy you if you don't let go. That's truth. So God says, for your own good, don't let anything get first place in your life. Keep me first. The second commandment says two things. Don't idolize anything. That's what we've just been discussing. And then it says, worship God only. You see, the second thing this commandment says is worship only God. God says, worship only me. And worship, as we are here today to do, means giving my highest love and devotion to God. Only God deserves my highest loyalty. Not any person, not any career, not any pursuit, not anything. Only God deserves that loyalty and that highest love because God made me. Unfortunately, many people today are like the people in the Bible in Romans 1 that we read as our scripture text, which says, many exchange the truth about God for a lie. They worship and serve what God has created instead of worshiping the Creator Himself. You know, it blows my mind when I think about the crazy things that people will worship. They will worship nature and animals, stars, the sun and moon. You name it, people will worship it. What in the world would make intelligent, rational human beings do such stupid things? That's what I call it, stupid. The Bible calls it foolish. There are two motives behind worshiping idols. And why would people want to make a statue or a form that they can bow down to? First, it's an attempt to limit God's location. If I can put God in a statue, or if I can put Him in a place, let's say, if I can put Him here only in church. If you want to find God, you go to church. If I can put God and box Him in only here at church, then I know exactly where to find God and where God is. And if I don't want Him to be around because of something I'm doing, then I just don't take Him with me. I don't take Him to that place. In fact, if I don't want God around me all the time, I think I can just shut the door or not go to church, and somehow He's distant from me. Somehow He can't see what I'm doing or be involved in what I'm doing. It makes me feel a whole lot better if I don't want Him seeing the things that I am doing. But God does see it. If I can put God on the shelf or place Him only at church, then I think I've got Him under control. I'm limiting His location. How foolish. But we do that without even realizing we do that. The second reason why people would want to make a statue or a form that they can bow down to is it's an attempt to reduce God's power and size. I'm going to whittle God down to a size that I can control. If I've got God in a statue, in a little box, or an idea like God's only in the Bible, then it's less imposing on me. It's less threatening. He's not everywhere, and he can't do everything because I've got him limited. He's more convenient, and he's manageable. In other words, we have reversed Genesis 1:27 that says, "Let us make man in our image," and that was God speaking. And now we have reversed that, and we're saying, "Let us make God in our image." We want to make God like us so we can control our situation. It's a whole lot easier to change our image of God than it is to know the truth and decide to do what God says and change me. A lot of people change their theology because they can't justify their lifestyle any other way. They can't hear the word of God. They can't read the Bible. They can't follow Jesus and do what God wants them to do when they're wanting to do something else in their life. We want to keep doing what we're doing. We want to make God like us. God calls that idolatry. We want God in our lives, but we want him in a shape that we can control. We want God in our life, but we want him to approve what we are and what we're doing. We want just enough God to bless us, but we don't want him to be the ruler of our life. The truth is that there are three benefits of worshiping God only. Putting him first in our life. First, if I put God first in my life, if I worship him first, it will be for my delight. There is fulfillment when you put God first in your life and you love him first. God says you will experience all the fulfillment in life that you've been looking for in all the other places and in all the other ways that you've been trying to acquire that. Psalm 37:4 says, "Seek your happiness in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire." That promise says, if I seek my happiness in the Lord, and not in other things, but if I seek it in the Lord, God will give me my heart's desire. He will give me what I'm looking for. That is a guarantee. God says, try it. Put me first, and love me first, and worship me first, and watch to see if I don't bring the fulfillment you've always wanted in life. When persons have actually done that, people that I've talked to have said, "My only regret is that I wished I had given my life to Christ sooner, fully, because all the things I was looking for to have in him, I was just looking in all the wrong places. I was trying in all the wrong ways." Romans 10:11 says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." Accept no substitute. Only God. And here's the second benefit of worshiping God, and the last point that I want to make today is putting God first in our lives. If I do that, it will deliver me. The Bible says you will experience freedom like you've never felt it if you will put God first place in your life. Incredible freedom. We are celebrating on this day, this weekend, our independence and how we raise up the glory of freedom. The Bible says you will experience freedom like you've never felt it if you put God first in your life. That's incredible. Jesus said, "If you obey my teachings, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. And if his son sets you free, you will be really free. When you're set free from your past. You've been completely forgiven through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross to die in your place. You don't need to carry those regrets anymore. You don't need to stand before God and say, oh Lord, I'm awful. I'm the worst thing in the world, because God doesn't see you that way. He sees you through Christ. He sees you forgiven, holy, and acceptable. When you're set free in the present, you have a new power to break the habits you couldn't break on your own. We're always wanting to change ourselves and be better and do better, but we can't. When you're set free in Christ, you have the power through the Holy Spirit to live a different kind of life. It's not something you can do, but in Him, and He can live through you and make that possible. You're set free in the future. You're not afraid of living, even in an era of pandemic. You're not afraid of dying. You know where real life is coming from and who's given it and who takes it away. In Christ, you're free in the past and in the present and the future, and that is real freedom. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, here at the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren, we become more and more like Christ. Whatever you love, you're going to become like. Whatever you worship, you're going to be devoted to. If you worship Christ, if you love Christ, if you give your all to Christ, you're going to become like Him. And that's what God wants you to become. And that is the truth. And that's why He's calling you this morning to do something about that, about the truth. He wants you to develop the characteristics of Christ. To have love in your life, to have joy in your life, to have peace and all the other characteristics of Jesus Christ. When you come and give your all to Him, it develops you to your full potential. You can't become all God wants you to be and all you want to be without putting Jesus first in your life. And accepting no substitute. Only Jesus. And that's truth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know that we don't always see the truth clearly. Our lives need your wisdom, because we can easily be misled. Our understanding is limited. So Jesus, we need you to touch our lives and give us your vision this morning. Oh God, help me to see you as you really are. Help me to see myself as I really am, in need of you. Help me to love you above all else. Forgive me for forgetting the things you've done in my life and what you promise about my future. Help me to see what's really true in my life. Help me to see what doesn't matter and what I hold on to and bow down to, which isn't worth devoting my life to, which is misleading my life. I want my life and vision to become only focused on you, Jesus. I want to have a passion for you and for the truth. Thank you for this church and its ministry that helps me to hear the truth. Lord, open my heart now. Open my mind. Teach me to let go and come anew to Jesus Christ this morning. I want Jesus first in my life. And that's why I surrender to that now. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen.